good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 137, Slinging Singapore Memories. Over the 4th of July weekend, Dee and I took the family up to the San Francisco Bay Area. It was a great trip. Not only did I record two audio podcasts and shoot material for a third video podcast, but we got to have a lovely homemade Indian meal with Reed and Jane Martin. We're looking forward to our upcoming trip to Singapore this week, and so we started reminiscing about our various Singapore memories, and we discovered, well, let's just say the amount of stuff that we don't know about Singapore would fill several podcasts. Unfortunately, I've cut it down to just this one. Reed started off our Singapore recollections by breaking down how many times we've been there.
Yeah, we performed, the RSC performed there. It must have been, I'm thinking 1991, because it was Adam and Jess and I did the Shakespeare show. I think it was called the Victoria Theater. It's near the Padang there. And then...
Padang me.
Drop down your head and hang me. And then we went. It was... I think it was 1996 was the last time we were there. Because when we were there, I remember we got word from Washington, D.C. that we had been nominated for a Helen Hayes Award from the summer of 95.
All right. So. Well, my biggest memory of Singapore is just, because I didn't go in 91, I went in 96. My biggest memory was not wanting to go. Because the only thing I knew about Singapore was that that kid who had keyed the cars or had spray-painted all the cars was getting caned. And I thought, whoa, that's... And you can't chew gum and you can't spit. And I thought, well, I don't want to go to this fascistic dictatorship. Horrible freedom. What a freedom. American freedoms. And then I got there, and it's beautiful. It's clean. You can eat anywhere. The people are lovely. Cars are hideously expensive. And this kid really deserved it.
I remember going to work early because we were performing at Raffles Hotel at the beautiful Victorian Theatre there.
And you wanted to have a couple of Singapore slings before you got to work.
I waited until afterwards.
Good for you.
I did. I waited.
Always a pro.
Oh, to my fingertips. And buying a diary in the gift shop so I could sit on the veranda, and you were there actually doing the same thing, and just write in my diary.
I was pretending to be Noel Coward doing the exact same thing.
What I remember, it was also very historic, is I think Austin and Matt Croak and I going over to play miniature golf on Sentosa Island.
That's right.
And it was a very hot. We had to go in the morning. It was really hot. And we took a cable car. You take a cable car over the water. I remember that.
Yeah,
I also remember
the
theater we were performing in Raffles has one of these sort of animatronic shows of the history of Singapore.
Love those.
And so we'll have to bring the boys to see that this time. But I remember I think it inspired a character that you were doing for a long time. Like, oh, I remember my time in the Punjab.
Yes, Commander McBragg, actually, yes.
But I something more interesting than talking about going to do miniature golf over at Sentosa Island. I went down Orchard Road and went shopping and got a beautiful it was fantastic. I'm just talking to the lady. Costco wasn't there at the time, so I'm so looking forward to seeing what they've done with Costco.
This is a crazy dictatorship that doesn't have a Costco. Well, the thing I remember is that you have to, when you go to Singapore to perform, you have to be approved. Your company has to be approved. I think that all the actors have to be checked through security, whatever. But not only that, and the visas have to be issued, but the script that you're performing has to pass through the government censors or licensing board or whatever it is.
No, they don't read it, because if they did, we would never get in.
Well, that's got to be the thing,
they don't get the double entendre. Their English is not that great because they don't get the innuendo.
So we went there with the America show in 96, whatever it was, and it was the strongest, one of the best reactions that show has gotten anywhere, including Washington, D.C., including Northern Ireland, including Canada, all cities in which it's gotten fantastic reviews. These guys loved it. And at the time, I was thinking, well, maybe they just don't get a lot of satire or hard-edged comedy. And in that way, we're
really cutting edge in a way that we're not, really, in other parts of the world. I don't know, but it's just fantastic.
Well, I just remember them laughing at setups. Yeah. I have Croak coming off stage and just saying, oh, this is like shooting fish in a barrel. You know, let's get back out there. I can't wait. And I think, I think people enjoy seeing Americans overseas making fun of America.
Right.
And somebody said to us, well, they're protective of their own culture and politics, but other people making fun of other countries, that's not an issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I remember we all went down to the, is it called the Long Bar? For a Singapore sling.
Yeah.
Company drinks, which were ridiculously expensive, but you go to Singapore and Raffles Hotel, you have to have a Singapore sling where it was invented.
Yeah.
And then they have a different bar in the complex as well. I think the Reader's Bar.
Right.
And
the
Jane,
Writer's Bar.
The Writer's Bar.
Writer's
the writer,
bar.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Writer's Bar. And Jane bought me a keychain, which still hangs on my message board in my office.
And the nuts, the shells of the nuts on the floor, because that's a tradition that you shell peanuts. And you throw the shells on the floor, like Gladstones in L.A.
Well, and this is one of the other traditions.
That's where they got it from.
One of the other traditions I'm becoming aware of now, you know, because we talk about where we're going on the podcast and on the Twitter and everything else. And people are saying to us, you've got to go see, while you're here in Singapore, you've got to go see. And then they'll list about three or four drag comedians. Is apparently, I don't know, is this the true thing about Singapore? Is that what they do? Is that the national comedic art form?
Out.
Drag guys in drag?
We're bringing our two little boys. We definitely should find that out.
Well, Rippy's going to have to do the drag because I don't think it's going to be you or me.
Well, we could do it, but I don't think that's going to sell a lot of tickets.
No. Think it will be a drag.
But it will be a drag. But that was the other thing, too. We talked to a lot of the audience people, and they seem to be made up a lot of Western expats, Americans, Brits, Australians, New Zealanders, Kiwis, who said they love living there. And they said it's a beautiful, lovely place to live, especially if you can leave the country for about 3 to 4 weeks a year. To, I guess, do the things you can't do there. Spit, chew gum, watch porn. I don't know. You know, all the things you can't do.
I remember their national newspaper was called The Straight Times. And the people from Singapore, the Singaporeans, used to call it The Straight Jacket. Because all of the headlines were, guess what your government has done for you today. And they'd take money out of their salary and put it into a savings account so that when the people wanted to buy a house in later years, the down payment would be already saved by them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I remember about the Straight Times is, yeah, the front page is, here's what we're doing. Isn't our country great? But then you go to the second page, and it's like the New York or LA Times. All the world news is unfiltered,
uh-huh.
Which the contrast between the first page and the second page was striking.
Well, and this was 96. I mean, the interwebs, Al Gore had barely invented the interwebs at that point. I remember I think we were doing CompuServe, you know, in the day. You know,
Got computers then. I 145Bs.
Yes. Oh, very, very good. The your laptop.
You got a 165 because you're a show off.
I am a big show off. Yeah. It's all about size.
Size doesn't matter, Austin.
I know that's
right. I keep telling her that. Jane, size does not matter.
What were we saying? Oh yeah. So how? I mean, unless they're like China, you know, they're not filtering the internet now. So I mean, some things must get through, or maybe they do. I mean, I guess we'll find out. First order of business when I get to Singapore,
or when the show's canceled after you air this podcast,
or when they deny our visas.
Yeah.
I remember on that same trip we went to Hong Kong and Japan, and I believe Dee joined us in Hong Kong, and we made her sick.
That's right.
Is that what made her sick?
That's right. I did my last show at Second City, and then I had food poisoning, and I spent 3 days vomiting in a hotel room.
And so for Jane, I liked Hong Kong and Singapore, and Japan was fascinating, although in Japan nobody understood what the heck we were doing in the show. But they loved us in Hong Kong and Singapore. But for Jane, Singapore, she loved because it's really clean. And Hong Kong, she hated because it's really dirty.
There were no dogs. There were no dogs on the streets of Hong Kong. And I said, there's something suspicious about that. There were no dogs.
Well, and I was pregnant. And in Hong Kong, personal space is different. It's like half. And there's something about being sick and pregnant and having people in your breathing on you. Yeah, it does not smell pretty in Hong Kong, especially after I've been there.
And I think it was on that trip in 96 where Matt Croak and I first started managing this computer baseball team that we still co-own 13 or 14 years later. Yeah.
Wow.
So you're like Bush. Huh? You're like George Bush. You own a baseball team.
He used to own a baseball team. I still do.
That's the difference. That's the only difference, but that's the only
difference. Of course, his imaginary team. His was real.
Yeah, what's your point?
I guess my point was he had a real team, but an imaginary presidency.
Yeah, but I have an imaginary war, and he left us in a real one.
Touché.
Hi, I'm Scott Simon of NPR News. You're listening to the Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Fool.
Where can you see the RSE? We'll be at the Drama Center Theater in Singapore from July 28th to August 2nd, which is next week if you're listening to this the week it appears. But if you can't come to Singapore to see us, you can follow our every move by following us on Twitter. We'll be tweeting and posting twit pics of where we are and interesting things and people we see and meet the whole time that we're there. If you want to follow our almost live blogging of our Singapore trip, go to twitter.com, create an account for yourself, and then start following us at twitter.com/reduced.
The one thing I loved was that, you know, you just go walking around, and it's a city-state on the water. It's an island, right?
Yeah.
So everywhere you go, there's water.
So it's a city-state like Athens?
I don't know. What am I, poli-sci major?
The country and the city are all one. I mean, Singapore is it.
Yeah.
You know, what does it say? We've got all the videos and stuff. How many miles is it?
I don't know how many miles it is. It was in 1965, I think it became independent. They tried to make it one country with Malaysia and Singapore, which didn't work. And so then Singapore went independent in 1965, and it's been an incredible turnaround of that country. It flourished. It's,
well, and that's all well and good, but as far as I was concerned, you can get noodles. You can get bowls of noodles for cheap, for nothing, anywhere, on the street, and they're fantastic. It was just so good, such great food, so cheap. And we had this time off after our time in Singapore, before we had to go on to Hong Kong, or before I had to meet Dee in Australia. And so Matt Croak and Rick Reiser, our stage manager, and I, we decided we were going to go find a resort in Malaysia. Because it's just a ferry ride across the water over to Malaysia, so we looked at all the various resorts, and our only criteria for a resort was that it needed to have a bar,
a
bar in the pool that you could swim up to. We just thought that was the coolest thing ever.
But tell me what you were doing in the swim up bar when you were having.
Well, then the problem with all of that is that the joys of the swim up bar sort of begin to pale as you're sitting there and the water gets suddenly warmer as you're sitting right there at the bar. It's just, you know, I'm not sure. It was a lovely resort, but really, maybe it was just the company I was keeping.
There's a lovely lady who grew up in Sonoma with my sister Millie, who's about 3 years older than I, Laura Bugna, growing up. I think she's Laura Lawson now. And so it was nice to have a connection in Singapore with someone we knew. She took us to Malaysia one day, which was really interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we went over the bridge, and gosh, there was Charlie Sheen. It was weird.
I thought you meant Charlie.
Oh, is that what you meant?
I did. I meant Charlie.
Oh, I meant Charlie Sheen.
No,
yeah. Okay.
Charlie Sheen is
okay.
Much better.
Okay.
Well, here's a good follow-up to me.
Who's this guy?
Willem Dafoe.
That's who you expect.
Wait,
Tom Berenger. A cocktail.
Yeah. Do that again so the people on the podcast can hear it.
What?
Yeah, that's the greatest Willem Dafoe impression ever.
Well, and the other interesting thing, am I remembering right? We were there at Chinese New Year.
Jane
has a friend from college in Northern Ireland who lives there with her husband and now kids. And so they took us to all the temples for the Chinese New Year. We saw Peking Opera in the streets. It was really interesting.
Fish market? What?
We went to a fish market and saw, it was just, I mean, we really saw how the Singaporeans really live. You know, it wasn't just in Raffles Hotel, which we really hung out in.
And I remember in the fish market seeing an elderly woman of Chinese descent who had bound feet.
Oh, right.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Literally, her feet are tied together?
No.
As a child, they bind the feet to keep them from growing. They want small feet. And so they're kind of... It physically deforms the feet.
She was like
She had just these tiny feet.
Slowly now, because she had very sore feet at this stage. She was about 80 or 90 or 100 or something.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Is it like... What does Singapore look like? Does it look like Hong Kong?
No.
No, it's... No, it is... It's like a modern city. The part of it I saw was like a modern city on the water. Like it's Miami.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a port. The buildings with skyscrapers, very modern. Mm-hmm. The population is mostly of Chinese descent, but it's at the tip of Malaysia, so there's a big Malaysian population.
They're all Singaporeans.
Right.
Which they make a big point of for just so that everybody gets along. But there's also a lot of people whose people came from India and Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And then there's a large expatriate population because of banking and business, because it's a former British... colony.
Right, it's very colonial, right? So everyone speaks English?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a former colony. We do the show in English, and everybody seemed to understand
they
it, I guess.
They have a second language. They also speak either Mandarin. They also speak either Mandarin, or they have a second language, and, uh-huh. but their primary language is English.
And it's 1 degree above the equator, so it's warm all year round. It's kind of hot and sticky.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, jungle, tropical.
Yes, it's the rainforest, and it's part of it was like South Beach in Miami. Just haven't come back from Miami. Mm-hmm. It looked a bit like South Beach, especially around the Padang area. It's very English looking, and then you go to another section, and it's high-rise, all these banks and these high-rise buildings, office buildings with all of the main financial institutions there. And then you go to another area, and you're like in the rainforest, and mm-hmm. it's very beautiful with the orchid gardens and the variety of birds there. And then they have a beautiful aquarium out on Sentosa Island, which we're going to bring with the boys. And
is it very everyone out on the street kind of thing?
There's an awful lot of street activity because there are so many little carts there that sell this fantastic uh-huh. food. And,
but it's not like LA. Everybody's out walking. It's more of like a real city.
Yeah, yeah. And especially at night because in the afternoon it's beautiful. Very uncomfortably hot. Right. And so there's a lot of nightlife where people go out and they sit in the cafes and drink and eat. The other thing I remember is going to Little India where it almost feels... as close as I've ever been to India, the smells and the shops and the fabrics and the people. And then they have, I think, a place, an Arab section. And, you know, we went to these Buddhist temples. And they had this fantastic Hindu temple with all these carved figures, a huge roof on it with these colorful, fearful, beautiful figures on top. It was a really interesting mix.
Well, and it is. There's a lot of nightlife, and it is a real city. It's got public transit, you know, people and cars. As we started off saying, cars are hugely expensive, not only to buy them, but then the taxes and the licenses on these cars are almost as much as the car itself. For this kid to have destroyed it. Right. And he was a diplomat's kid. He knew better. He deserved it. Yeah, this kid was just a jerk. This has been really fascinating. A 20-minute podcast of massive cultural ignorance. That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us examples of your cultural ignorance via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Just click on forum. You can also find us at facebook.com, myspace.com/reduceshakespeare. Become a subscriber to our YouTube channel, or, I said it before, I'll say it again, become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Caned Boy Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Joe Rowe. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Scott Simon from National Public Radio, another funny fellow you can follow on Twitter. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 137 411ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.